Hello everyone and welcome to my first episode of my podcast Unleash the Power Within. And today we have Olaf Bergermann here with me and we're gonna talk about challenges in our lives and how to overcome it. And Olaf, please introduce yourself and say some words about you and your very interesting personality.
Well, thank you very much for the introduction. I'm Olav Borgemoen. I'm living in Norway. I'm 50 years old. I'm a child of the last 60s, 1960s, and I have experienced everything before the internet and after the internet as well. But I'm educated in market communication and innovation. I have been working with advertising stuff most of my life. I grew up on a farm, so I have also seen the hard life, of, hard part of the life, and experienced a lot.
Yeah, I met you in Poland last year the first time, and we had a lot to share and a lot to talk about. And I found you very interesting from the very moment, very first moment. And you went through some really, really wide waters in your life and experienced some very big challenges. And today I want to talk to you, or with you actually, about some of the challenges you met and overcome. So if you think about the biggest challenge you ever met or the hardest time in your life, what would that be? Maybe you can shortly tell us about how you ended up there and what you experienced in that time.
Yeah, I can. I have a couple of stories I will tell you. I can start with the first one. It's early morning in 1975. I'm the first one waking up. The sun is already shining. It's a hot day in July, and I have lost memory from yesterday, where I remembered several things from my early childhood, which was 6 years before this. It was gone. A lot of memories was gone, and I was really stressed about it and shocked about it, where what happened, and I knew that something had left me, and I promised me that I need to gather myself and really focus on this moment, because this should not happen again. So I went down to the kitchen floor, sat down, took my lorry in my left hand, looked around me, memorized the room, which I can still remember, the sink with the blue rim, the color on the walls. Everything was kind of memorized in detail. And I understood that we probably lose something to gain something else. And this is so normal in that kind of age to forget something. And also during life also, what is your first moment you can remember kind of? Mm-hmm. So this is the first moment that I can remember that I lost a lot of information. I can still remember things before that, but the point is that when you are shocked about something that you don't understand, you need to either seek advice or you have to find strength in yourself to overcome it. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of my first experience. During my childhood, I had a really great childhood. I was working at the farm and grew up, took education, traveled the world with several people around me, managed very well. And ended up in the financial industry with projects that I was investing in, and with also my own and other people's money. And for 5-6 years ago, suddenly one day I was detained at an airport in Norway, and they believed that I had cheated one of my partners. Mm-hmm. So they threw me into custody and kept me there for months, and they was investigating me. The first day was very humiliating, and it was frightening, and I couldn't speak to anyone. I was just alone with myself and my own thoughts and my own reflections. I was in a room where you cannot kill yourself, and that also reminds you that you can kill you here, so they prevent you from doing that. So it is kind of a all it's a very brutal situation to be thrown into. From you are wearing a suit a few hours ago, and they take away everything what you have.
Did you feel very helpless in that situation?
Completely helpless.
Was that the worst feeling you had in that moment?
For me, it was not helplessness. The worst feeling was I was so humiliated because I was dressed naked and I just to confirm my sex, and they treated me that I could do anything harm, which I never do. Mm-hmm. They went through all my belongings, which should be okay because I have nothing to hide, but still, it is your private atmosphere.
Yeah.
So that was very humiliating that somebody could do that without nobody can say, stop it, this is not okay.
Yeah, I see. And what helped you to overcome these feelings and to gain your stability back, even though being detained?
I found the strength inside of myself, actually, because I go back where my life is okay, where I know that I can handle my problems. Mm-hmm. I'm used to the mountain, I'm used to the nature. I know I can cope up with the natural elements. Mm-hmm. And I know physically I can take a lot of challenges. Psychologically wise, I can also take a lot, but in a situation where you are placed into an environment you don't know about, you have just heard about it, you don't know what's coming and who is coming and what's the consequences of something that is new. You're in a total white map white place on the map.
Yeah, did you feel fear in that moment, actually, because you were insecure about how the future would turn out, or what was the feeling actually?
Well, I trust in myself really much. Sometimes you don't trust yourself because you also take decisions that is above your own experience or reflections or what I could describe it. But when you are in a situation like this, you have to focus. And I can remember pretty much everything what happened from second to second. Mm-hmm. Even the shape and form of the people attending me, the cars, where we was going, everything in detail, because I was focusing for a way to escape from this situation. This is kind of normal because it's an uncomfortable situation and you don't want to be in it.
Yeah.
So I found it natural to seek for a way out of it. And the most natural way is to take a step to the left and run away from it.
Yeah.
So it is a kind of a fear, but it was controlled fear.
Was it the only option you ran through in your mind? I think I can really try to put myself in that situation, and I can imagine that you run through 1,000 options in that moment. Is that what happened to you?
Yeah, you kind of have a bucket list of options, and you just evaluate them and place one up, and the next one is deleted because you know, when you are into a room where you are not supposed to kill yourself.
Yeah,
had never been anything near my life to go so far, but it was a reminder, and I kind of evaluated that this will not happen.
Yeah,
after 4 days in that place, I could hear other people knocking the doors with their heads and so on.
Yeah.
And then you understand that we have different limits.
That's true.
So I was just lucky to have enough food in my body, to have an okay shape, and kind of could resist my worst thoughts.
Yeah.
It could have happened the same to me, that I have lost it.
Yeah, that's true. So what did you do to keep yourself together, or did you choose for a specific option and started actions which were under your control in that moment, or what did you do to overcome this situation, which is very fearful, I can imagine?
We are always looking for energy. I had very few resources, but one resource that this was a lot of was the pressure, the fear, all that was humiliating, and I decided that this is my fuel tank. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is challenging me, whatever makes me afraid will be my fuel. Mm-hmm. So bring it on. And I had a lot of fuel, I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of fueled up with obstacles and things that really didn't go my way.
Yeah.
But I decided that I will be stronger and stronger and stronger, like a dam.
Yeah.
You know, a dam, when there's a lot of water pushing and pushing and pushing, it will be stronger because of its U shape. And when I also know that when the water is gone, the dam will fall back.
Yeah.
So I also had kind of a security net in myself that one day this pressure will also be released, and not to be broken totally of the release, you also need to kind of evaluate and analyze all your movement, if it brings you forward or backward.
Okay, so actually, you, as I understood you right, you evaluate several options, which is kind of normal, and there's no limit left and right. So in the end, you find yourself and at least take a look at all options you got. Then you found out that you found trust in yourself because of things you experienced in a completely different environment like the mountains. And you had a positive way of looking to it because you knew inside yourself, one day this will be over and you will overcome this. Even though you feel a lot of pressure in yourself, which is like stress as a dam that holds energy back, and you look for a way how to focus that energy and get it, get rid of it. Otherwise, it will just break you from within. And so what concise steps did you take in your daily routine to cope with this situation, which was mainly dominated by insecurity?
Yeah, insecurity about also timing, because you don't know the time. When will I be released from this situation?
Yeah.
And I need to mention the way we were thinking about, or I was thinking about my my girlfriend, my parents, my sons, everyone I couldn't speak to, right? So the, you know that what kind of challenges you can be put in, but you don't know about your beloved one and your stakeholders.
Yeah.
If you look into a bigger perspective, there will be stakeholders around you that cannot handle your problems.
True.
And, there, and this is a bigger problem than it is for me.
And how did you handle that problem?
I was happy that I had been honest about many things of my life, because now everything is exposed. But there's also secrets in yourself that was only for me and not for others. And when it comes to a point where all your secrets, not nothing dangerous, of course, but about how you live your daily life, what is driving you and so on, everything will be exposed and analyzed into the details.
Yeah.
And it, not for the good, but for the bad.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, that was after a while, nothing. And I said that the only way, the only result that can come out of this is that they find me as me.
Yeah.
So that is, I cannot change that. And I don't want to change it because it's just me.
Yeah.
So this is, for a fact, this is my baseline.
So you were to accept.
I accept what it is.
Unchangeable in that situation.
Yes. What I can change, I use focus on. What I cannot change, I have to accept.
Which is a very, very helpful and important skill to overcome challenges and hard situations, to really find out what you can change and put your energy on that.
Yeah.
And accept or embrace things you cannot.
Yeah.
So what did you find out in that situation, what you can change, and how did you put your energy into that?
To have a follow-up on the first question you had, this link to what you said now, is that you have to remember yourself, that you are a human being. You have your ethical and moral standards. You have your ideas and your actions that follows this. That can be controlled. You can control yourself.
Yeah.
If you cannot control the environment, you can control yourself in that environment.
So it's about self-regulation and, and emotional control, actually.
Yes. So if you even have to meditate, sit still, look just into the wall, just take care of yourself and embrace for change, because then you are ready for what is coming. And as I said, you're a human being. You eat your food the proper way. You will always have a napkin beside you. You only take your fork and a knife in the correct hands. You eat normal portions. You take care of your training. You start to maintain for what is coming.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't coming, you prepare.
So it's about discipline. It's about self-regulation. It's about taking care of yourself, remind of yourself, taking action to start to get a grip on the situation as good as you can.
Yeah. And you can say that, is it fair or unfair, the situation you are in? Who cares? Nobody actually is interested in it. You know that it's fair or unfair yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot handle anything with this feeling.
Yeah.
And nobody actually cares. But what you can do, eat your food nice, go to sleep early, get your sleep, ask for a nice dream to come, and do your push-ups, whatever drives you, just to keep your mindset clear. If you have a good physical condition, your psychological level will be even better.
Yeah, so you started with yourself because you can control yourself, and you started to take care of your body as being an expression of your mental state, actually.
Yeah.
And another question would be, how did you, or did you have a relationship with the guys who took care of you, and how did they react to you, and even more important, how did you react to them?
In the start, it was many different people. I was placed in a high security place because they didn't have any space anywhere else. And there was murderers and other hard criminals around. And I remind me that this is also people, and I don't know each and one of them and or the cases. As a human, I will try to be polite. I will try to be a friend in the same situation because we are in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find the smallest thing that we can agree on is understood as acceptable behavior for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I do as I have been learned back home, shake hands with people, talk to them and tell them who you are. And you don't need to know everything about anybody else, but just tell them who you are and ask for the space you want, which I did. And this way you kind of introduce yourself to a community that is not known to you, that is kind of hard and new and challenging, but it's the way you probably have to do it just to act as a human being, because you are not better than worse than anyone else.
Yeah.
Humans are humans.
So it's about respect, it's about getting rid of judgments, but to be open-minded and even empathical.
Absolutely. You need to be empathical, or you don't need to be it, but you have to try to be it if you are not have this as a gift as from birth.
Yeah.
You have to have an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens can be for a reason, and you see that this is also a test between people and mostly for yourself.
Yeah.
What will come according to what you are able to handle.
I think what we all really want to know, it's because it seems to be the biggest bullet. Now you are in this very pitiful situation. You are in a detainment center with murderers, with criminals of capital crime. And you came there by first place because of a false accusation, which was not fair at all. So that must be a big point within oneself to know this is all not true, but still you are there. But you cannot influence that. But still the emotion is there. Mm. So how did you manage to put this aside and not focus on being in an unfair situation? And because I think if you had focused on that, you may have been broken by focusing too much on being treated unfair and not being able to do anything about it.
Yeah, the unfairness is something that is still hunting me. Fairness is like a balance of right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot ignore the fact that there has been wrongful things done to me. And after some time, several new cases came up just to keep me there. And they even invented another case that they tried to convict me for. And they had to release some of the first accusations, and in the end of the period of 5 months in detention, they came up with a new one. They followed until today. That is unfair, but you are working against a system that is quite determined to do their best they can, their job. And the job is to find me guilty, right? Even if they are, if you want to have it otherwise, they just, their job is to find something wrong. But it does not help to focus too much on it, because it only leads you into a depressive situation, or a situation where you think whatever I do doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
I have been there.
So what did you do to, when you feel this emotion taking grip on you, especially when you were in the detention center, what did you do to gain control over this emotional state to put it aside?
I used it as fuel. During Christmas time, that was tough, because they promised me that I will have visits. And they even told me what day I would have visit from my girlfriend and my parents. And the day I was sitting there waiting for them to appear, there was nobody there, because there was nobody who was informed or invited. It was just to see, probably, or maybe it was just somebody who forgot to inform somebody. But for me, it was really a hard experience, because I kind of looked forward to see somebody else, somebody from my safe environment. And when this happened, then you kind of see that you are really mistreated. And this is a psychological kind of terror.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was sort of intended or not, I don't know. I decided me to say that this was probably not intended.
Mm-hmm.
And people can also forget something during Christmas, even if it's important for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, let's see how I can handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And this can escalate to a situation where you kind of will crack. You will crack after some time.
Yeah,
it's not about to being a superhero, but it's the fact that you also have to tell yourself in that situation, you will crack now or in the future. So now try to use this as fuel. Please try to cope with it and try to understand it from all sides. But the result have to be positive, meaning prepare yourself for another change to come.
Mm-hmm. So in the end, positivity is one of the key factors.
Yeah.
If you had run into a negativity or a negative perspective, your will would have cracked, right?
Yes. I know I would have cracked myself. And I must also say that I could, in the end of the 5 months, I heard a history about walking in the skis in the slopes in a sunny day. I was crying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was prevented to do that myself.
Yeah.
And then I understood that now I'm on the brink of being illusional, lose my illusions or where I am.
Yeah. So what did you do actually, or how did it come to the day when you were finally released? And maybe just tell us this phase, is how you prepared for that, how that felt for you, what led to that, and until you finally were able to be free again.
Yeah, I always knew that I would not rot in jail. So what I did, I prepared always my clothing. Everything was clean at any time. All my papers and everything was gathered, so I could bring everything with me in a second. So I could pack all my things without having anything left behind. I could even escape if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So I had, after a while, some ideas how I could escape from it. And I knew I could probably escape from it, but not for so long time. One thing is to escape. One thing is to stay free. So it will hunt you until you're back in this reality again, right?
Yeah,
and
so
the reality is that
you're... It's maybe a tempting thought in the moment, because it appears to be an easy and mainly quick solution.
Yeah.
But if you think it through, then you will find yourself in an even bigger problem. So
yeah, exactly.
That's what I meant when I thought you run through different options and then finally made yourself clear to focus on the one which is most rewarding in the end, and not run with the first that runs through your mind. So that's about impulse control as well, right?
Yeah, it is. And the impulse control is very important to handle, because if somebody slap you, you have a tendency to slap back.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the place that you do that. and you also have another understanding. When you are given orders, you have to follow orders, if you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
There's for a reason. It's for your safety mostly.
Yeah.
But I was lucky having a treadmill at the facility, so I could run every day. Mm-hmm. So early in the morning, I was one of the first waking up. So I was led to the training center quite quickly. And I could run, and I actually prepared myself to run away.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a motivation.
Mm-hmm.
That was an illusion. I knew it was an illusion, but it gave me kind of a reason why I should run faster and faster over time.
Yeah.
So if I break out or something happened, I could at least run faster than anyone around me. But then the reality comes when you kind of think about the consequences,
mm-hmm.
and you understand that you cannot run forever,
mm-hmm.
and you cannot run to anyone without being cashed up.
Yeah, but still you found maybe a way how to set up a routine and take precise steps in a goal, even though it was fictional.
Yeah.
But it gave you the impression to handle certain things in your situation.
Yeah.
But still, again, please tell us about the phase where you finally came free.
Yeah, when I, an afternoon, it was like 15:45, I put on a video on the television and was sitting and eating my food. Then the guard knocked the door and he had a letter in hand. And I thought, here comes some shit again. So prepare yourself, embrace that. What more can go wrong? And he said, there's a decision that you are being released with immediate effect. And I was thinking, don't jump on that train too fast. And I said, can I eat my food? Can I complete my food first? And we can look into it, because this was really a too good news that could be truth.
Mm-hmm.
And there must be some catch. And he was sitting together with me. I didn't leave the room. And then I finished, switched off the film. And he read through it again two times. And then I said, okay. I really had to prepare myself to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Because now this was my safe environment. With mm-hmm. everything was in tidy. And what can I say? I couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I needed to take action to get out of there as soon as possible before somebody changed the decision, you know. So I asked them to call my parents, because well, they had just visited me that day, and they turned around and picked me up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really incredible feeling to be released from that facility. And when I gathered my things, I gave away all that I had, the foods and books and other things that had been valuable for me,
mm-hmm.
To the others, and kind of shared what I didn't need, and picked all what I had gathered and written, because I was writing poems and stories to myself
mm-hmm.
many times to get it out of the head and into the paper. And then finally get released. But it was very shocking, and if I had been alone, it would be an emptiness that was really hard to bear, you know, because the mm-hmm. emptiness where you really must face yourself and maybe find answers to everybody around you that didn't see you for 5 months,
mm-hmm.
asking questions that is obvious. What the hell did you do wrong? Right?
So did you feel in that situation it was helpful for you to have people around you who you can trust and who gave you like a network, not to completely lose yourself?
Yeah, because without kind of a network, I think you will lose out. You haven't had any external stimulus. You have only yourself, and that can be quite tough. You mm-hmm. challenge yourself in different ways, and now with close family around you, you can actually cope up with the reality that is a situation where you know you have done something unexpected. Mm-hmm. Something has must go wrong. Mm-hmm. Everybody agree. Something has gone wrong. This is not the person they know.
Yeah, I see.
And you don't need to explain everything to anyone because it is also hard to explain it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if your surroundings, your stakeholders, can let you have the space, it is, I think you recover faster.
Yeah, I see.
So you have a safe environment.
Yeah.
I didn't need any extra sleep. I just continued with my physical routines. I at the same time, so I kind of took care of the what was working for me, because mm-hmm. nothing is over when you are out.
Yeah.
So you just need to continue in another way.
I see.
Mm.
So it changed your perspective then again.
Yeah, and it also took away some visions also from me, because I saw that some of the visions will not be possible to reach because I'm so humiliated. And I'm so tame.
I see.
And then you have to decide if you are going to handle that or you have to leave it for another day.
And if you think of this situation now in the aftermath, I think this is really a situation which everybody can agree upon, which would be a big cut in your life if you are detained for accusation that... you know it's not true, and you have to cope with that. But how did this affect your life afterwards or your personality in a negative or in a positive way?
Mm. Some friends, maybe some from the family even, feel that to be around me might be difficult. Mm-hmm. I believe so. But others are closer than ever.
Mm-hmm.
So it is also like a sorting situation about your environment.
Mm-hmm.
You can do something with it or not. In this case, you cannot do anything with it. It's just their opinion, so I don't focus so much on that. I just continue to be me,
mm-hmm.
to be myself and have my standards. And I have been born with a very stubborn soul. I was... teach very early to ask people to kiss themselves where the sun never shines if that is needed and be okay with it because you know your own standards.
Yeah.
You know what you do to do what you do and you know that you don't pass the limit. And if you do sometimes, which you can do, it shouldn't be on the big dangerous things.
Yeah,
but you should believe in yourself and stand up for yourself.
And did the situation bring you any further or make you stronger? Or how do you value this situation now? How do you look at it?
Well, it made me stronger the way that I know I can handle even bigger problems,
mm-hmm.
Which this problem is not the biggest problem in the world.
Yeah,
there is others. There's other problems. People can have diseases, die. Then this is the ultimate when you die, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing left. This is also something you will learn from. And if I didn't learn anything from it, the time would be wasted.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are challenged and if you meet trouble, embrace the trouble the way that you can learn something from it. If not, it is totally wasted.
That's a good point, actually. So if I conclude this, then you feel in a way your self-esteem got stronger, but in the same time you feel humble for yourself. And your advice is that you should always look in a situation of trouble or loss for the point what you can learn from it.
Yeah. And when you reflect this on the first story I told you about when I was 6 years old, when you open your hand and you lose something, you are ready to take something new. Mm-hmm. You have to leave some to receive something new, something else.
Oh, I love it. That's good.
Because if you have an open door and you are ready to pass it, you can experience something new.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to collect on shitty things.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is too short and fragile to just collect all the negativity and all the pity that has happened to yourself. This is experience and fuel to understand other people also in the same situation. So you can respect it or disrespect it, that's up to you, but it's most to understand.
Yeah.
And if you can understand something, you are equal and you can talk about it.
Yeah. So for the factors that helped you through this very stressful and challenging situation was, like, first of all, have a positive perspective, control your emotions,
yeah,
have a kind of self-regulation, find out what you can influence and what not, so get a self-effectivity about it, be empathic, still look for the ways where you can thrive through it, and have a emotional network with other people. So this are some key factors which researchers found out over about 30 years of research in the States, especially the Pennsylvania State University is doing study on that for a long time, but there are several different universities as well. And they even found out a program how to help people to strengthen these factors to get a better understanding and find a better way how to deal with challenges and setbacks and stress situation. And it does not have mandatorily to be a big situation like this was. It can also be the traffic jam or being fired at the job or whatever. And that's very interesting because it's really showed through the last decades that a pinpointed training on those factors, and it's amazing that those are exactly the factors you mentioned through your stories, can bring up the resilience in people in an incredible way. And me as a resilience trainer and coach who shows people how to do that, this is my passion actually, and my goal to show people how they can connect with their potential and they are capable of doing so much more than they think in the first place. So before that situation you described, you may have thought different about what you can handle and how you can handle. But in the end, you ended up being very surprised because you found a way around it. Maybe because you was imprinted by your childhood in an austere environment in a farm, or things you experienced beforehand. But still, not everybody was raised on a farm, or most people are strong in some areas, but maybe weaker in different other of those key factors. And either you will be forced in a situation to find on your own a fast way how to do it, or you're going to break over the time. And therefore, I think it's a very, very helpful and important thing to help people to thrive on this behalf and to really live up to their potential and unleash the power and the strength within.
Yeah, and it's something also you need to remember yourself and others about, is that there is more good in people than it is bad. So you always find levels of madness and bad things in people. Sometimes it is for a reason, sometimes it's not. And you can explain it in different ways, but there's also thing you have to live by the rule that is like demanding for me, that you understand that all people are people and there is more good in a person than bad.
Which and is again positivity.
It's positivity. You know, I've also been so lucky that I'm born with a sun in my head and a tiger in my heart, so I can stand the challenges. I have been lucky regards to these things. I am born lucky with no reason. And if I complain, I would catch myself up and say that, well, where's how to get through it?
Yeah.
So you need to remind yourself that there is always another side of the coin.
Yeah.
And maybe a conclusion of this is that you will not appreciate the light if you haven't seen the dark.
That's a nice way to see it, actually.
Yeah, so you need to be in the tunnel for a while to understand that there's also some light over there. They will. So
that's a very nice words for the end. Actually, I really appreciated that you took the time to be here, and I really enjoyed the time with you. Thanks very much for sharing so openly this really touching story, and I hope many people will have enjoyed that as well and take a lesson from it or get an inspiration. So thank you very much, Olaf, and
somebody find it of interest and can teach something about it. My time wasn't for nothing, right?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So then thank you and goodbye.
Thank you so much.